Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh Day Adventist Congregation, 9,000 12th Hour Liberty here in Texas. Today is November 11, 2017, or April 23, 2021. We will start our first service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, Open My Eyes That I May See. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth as for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Solidly now I wait for thee. Ready my eyes, I will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit, be fine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth, thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Solidly now I wait for thee. Ready my eyes, I will to see. Open my ears, illumine me. Spirit, be fine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready my eyes, I will to see. Open my heart, illumine me. Spirit divine. Latest news from Mother, P.T. Otis. This is track number 4. Let's start with page 1, Jezreel's introductory offer. Let's just skip on over to chapter 2 and start with page 11. The latest news from Mother by Hosea, chapters 1 and 2. The word of the Yahweh that came unto Hosea the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of Yahweh by Hosea. And Yahweh said unto Hosea, Go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredoms departing from Yahweh. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Yahweh said unto him, Call his name Jezreel. For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. So this being a prophecy with its fulfillment in our time, to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel, in the Antitype, that took place in 2002 at Kermit. Brother Johnson brought the house of the spiritual Israel, Seventh-day Adventist, to a close in 2002. That fulfills this prophecy. It said, I will avenge the blood of Jezreel. Now, Jezreel, generic name for the master prophet at this time. And that master prophet is Elijah, Malachi 4:5. with the added name David. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. The bow of Israel was broken in the valley of Jezreel, and the antitype at Kermit, Texas, 2002-2003, that bow was broken. Jezreel, as I said, is a generic name for a master prophet. And he's the fulfilling, giving the interpretation, the fulfilling of all these prophecies in the last days that are dovetailing here into the 12th hour. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and Yahweh said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Yahshua, their king. They will not save them by bow, nor by word, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now you notice I said by the Yahshua, that I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. That's the lawgiver. That's David's kingdom. The tribe of Judah, and I will save them by, you see that save them by my son, this is Yahweh talking, by my son, their king, and their redeemer. And will not save them by bow, nor by word, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said Yahweh, call his name Lo-Ami, for we are not, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your Elohim. Hosea 1:1-9. From the foregoing scriptures, it is seen that Hosea's wife and children were such in vision only, and were therefore entirely figurative. They were so named as to make a fitting analogy of his people, Judah and Israel. I might add the two kingdoms of Israel that had been divided after Solomon's death. And then of the whoredoms, they fittingly prefigure the idolatrous state of his church. So, if that be the case back then it followed all the way through clear on down to our time now. For the Adventist Church is still out there functioning, and they have completely revolved back into Babylon. And they are doing all the things that Babylon had been doing before she tried to come out of Babylon. So let's go continue. Continuing with the prophecy, we hear the Yahshua's command unto Jezreel. Say ye unto your brethren, Ami, and unto your sisters, Ruhamah. Now it says right here, I thought it was one sister. You ought to put an S on sisters here. And so I guess that the sisters must represent the complete laity. The same pair of children introduced in the first chapter of the vision are in the second chapter redenominated, for the difference being that from both names is dropped the prefix lo, which in the Hebrew means no. Accordingly, whereas Lo-Ruhamah means no mercy, and Lo-Ruhamah is not my people. Ruhamah means mercy, and Ami, my people. Hosea 1:6-4. This change of status implied in the change of the names denotes a division of the church history. In one instance, the membership is called not my people, receiving no mercy, and in the other, instant my people receiving mercy. The Apostle Paul gave the key to this whole prophecy by revealing the interpretation of that part of it which met its fulfillment in his day. Even us, whom he hath called not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he said also in Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people. And the beloved which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, this shall they be called the children of the living Yahweh. Romans 9:24-26. So we see that chapter 1 of Hosea, vision, foretells Yahweh's rejection of the Jews, which we know he did after they rejected his son. At that time was fulfilled the sad pronouncement, you are not my people, and I will not be your Yahweh. Yet in the very next breath, as it were, the Jews are called the children of the living Yahweh. This paradox is clear in the chapter 2 as it is in the Romans 9. For the Jews who did not reject Yeshua, but who became Christians, are the ones called the children of the living Yahweh. Clearly then, in the simultaneous fulfillment of these contrasting decrees, were the death throes of the Jewish nation and the birth pangs of the Christian church. Having now established that this scripture gives the termination of the one dispensation and the beginning of the other, we must next discover how far back in the history of the Old Testament division and how far forward in the history of the New Testament division this prophetic allegory reaches. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she camped out of the land of Egypt. Hosea 2:15. When analyzed, this verse shows that the first division began in the days of Abraham, when the church was in her youth, continued on to her exodus from Egypt, the days when she sang, and terminated with the crucifixion of Yahshua, the hour that doomed Judaism. Then soon, verses tell how far in the Christian division this personified prophecy reaches. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the bottle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercy. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. Thou shalt know thee, Yeshua. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Yahweh, I will hear the heavens, and they know, saith the Yahweh, I will hear, saith the Yeshua, the Son. I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. Hosea 2:18-21. Okay, so if this is the case, then Yeshua has to be here on the earth when that communication starts taking place between earth and heaven. Because he's going to tell the angels are going to be commissioned to be carrying messages from heaven to earth, from earth back to heaven. This is Jacob's ladder in the Anathoth. Now these verses describe the latter day state of the once fallen wife. The church is one of the unadulterated purity and absolute safety. But as she is at the present time still in her latest sin condition, wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, still impure and still in danger, it is evident that as Hosea's vision extends over the entire length of the Jewish church, okay, you get that? Hosea's vision extends over the entire length of the Jewish church. So the Jewish church and her sins reached all the way up to 2002, Gilead Center, and 2003. It also extends over the entire length of the Christian church. The Sunday keeping, apostatized Protestant churches, from the crucifixion unto her fast approaching liberation from the bondage. Let's do that again. It also extends over the entire length of the apostolic congregation of the new covenant with the started with the disciples at the cross. Y'all should set up that antithetical Jewish church, identifying it as the Apostolic Nazarene Creed. And so Vicky Hollis says Hosea's vision extends over the entire length of the Jewish church. And that was from when to when? Coming out of Egypt, when the Jewish church started, when it was organized, it reached all the way down to 2002. 3,500 years. Okay. So, and it says, it also extends over the entire length of the apostolic kingdom of the apostles and their converts, the Gentiles, and clear on down to 2002. So these two churches run side by side. Okay, right down to the very end. From the crucifixion to her fast approaching liberation from the body, when the Yahshua is to hear the heavens, and the heavens are to hear the earth. So Yahshua is here, he has come to earth, he's headed up his kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of David, which he's also a co-owner of. Yahshua and David are co-owners of this kingdom. Yahweh made it so by a covenant with David. This one family, dual, a symbolization of the Old and the New Testament churches, shows them to be one church accordingly. Her character in both dispensations is dramatically personified first during the Old Testament period. Some years after the tribes crossed the River Jordan and settled in the Promised Land, their kingdom began to decline from its high spiritual estate. Finally, in the reign of Solomon, the Yahweh said unto Jeroboam, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes unto thee, because that they have forsaken me. 1 Kings 11:31-33. So Yahweh says, the kingdom of Solomon has forsaken him. This verdict was not executed until after the death of Solomon, when the 10 tribes upon the revolting against Rehoboam, that was the king of the Judah in the south, called Jeroboam and made him king over all Israel. So they called Jeroboam, made him king over all the 12 tribes, 10 tribes in the north and 2 tribes in the south. But 1 Kings 12:20. But all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, verse 21, remained to Rehoboam, son of Solomon. So it was that the kingdom was divided, the 10 tribes, the kingdom of Israel, taking the northern portion of the Promised Land, and the 2 tribes, the kingdom of Judah, retained the southern portion. Remember, the southern portion is lion country. The northern portion is bear country. Keep that in mind. But the decree, I will break the bow of Israel, the princes of the 10 tribes, kingdom in the valley of Jezreel. Hosea 1:5 was not fulfilled until later, when Jehu slew all that remained of the house of Ahab in the valley of Jezreel. So, Rolla Johnson represented King Ahab. He represented the angel of the candlestick of Laodicea. And he represented the antitypical King Saul and antitypical King Esau. And so he had a lot of antitypes. Okay. So it says, the valley of Jezreel and all his great men and his kinfolks and his priests until he left him and none remained. 2 Kings 10:11. So this took place in the desert out in the far reaches of West Texas back in the early 2002-2003. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. Now, Jehu was an idol worshiper, and he never did stop worshiping idols. But he was called and anointed to destroy all the houses, because he was a king, and made him king over Israel for 28 years. He was given rule over Israel for 28 years, and as soon as his rule was over, he resorted back to Babylon. Well, he never did stop practicing idol worship. Jehu didn't. But took no heed to walk in the law of the Yahweh Elohim of Israel with all his heart. In those days, the Yahweh began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them and all the coast of Israel, until the Yahweh removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets. So was Israel carried away unto Assyria, and in the cities of the Medes, 2 Kings 10:28, 31:32, 17:23, 18:11. Herewith came to pass the forewarning. I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel, Hosea 1:4. So this prophecy made its fulfillment at the house of Israel at Kermit, Texas. It took a whole year for it to meet its fulfillment, 2002 to 2003. Now, many years after the dispersion of the 10 tribes, his Sennacherib, king of the Assyria, came up against all the fenced cities of the Judah and took them. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh with a great host against Jerusalem. Such found in 2 Kings 18:13 and 17. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of Yahweh and prayed before the Yahweh and said, O Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the Elohim, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Now therefore, O Yahweh, O Elohim, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Elohim, Yahweh Elohim, even thou only. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib king of Assyria, I have heard. It came to pass that night, that the angel of the Yahweh went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And when they rose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. 2 Kings 19:1, 15:19, 20:35. By this divine interposition, the Yahweh fulfilled his promise, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will not save them by the Yahshua their king, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword. So I will save them, and I will save them by the Yahshua their savior. I will save them, and will not save them by the bow, nor by the sword, nor by the battle, by the horses, nor by the horsemen. Hosea 1:7. Notwithstanding this great mercy, Judah continued to sin exceedingly against them, and the Yahweh Elohim of their fathers sent unto them by his messengers, rising up before betimes and sinning, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of Yahweh and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Yahweh arose against his people until there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon the young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of Elohim, great and small, and the treasures of the house of Yahweh, and the treasures of the king and of his princes. All these he brought unto Babylon, and they burnt the house of Yahweh, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with the fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away unto Babylon, where they were servants unto him, and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, 2 Chronicles 36:15-20. After the appointed time of the captivity, Yahweh remembered his promise of the mercy to them, and stirred up the spirit of the Cyrus, king of Persia. Okay, so he stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia. Now, this Cyrus today is Donald Trump, and he's been going now for 10 months as the acting president of the United States, and he has completely got all the nations stirring, and in great consternation. And they're all trembling in their boots. So, when we see this happen in the Antitype now, which is happening now, this means that he's going to stir up the spirit of the house of David. And he's going to stir up the spirit of the house of the Seventh-day Adventist Church that is still out there, mocking and mimicking religion. So he's going to stir, he stirred up the spirit of the king Cyrus of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith the Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath Yahweh Elohim of heaven given me, and he has charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. So Donald Trump, in his first year of his presidency, he went to the Atlantic Rim nations in the east, the Saudi Arabian, the Muslims. He went to the French and the G20 Euro nations, and he took charge of them. Then he come back, and now he's over in Indo, the specific Indo-Asian region of the world. He's on a 12-day stop between nations of the Asian Western Hemisphere, and he's commanding them what they have to do in the future to have fair trade between all nations. And he says he literally means fair trade, or there won't be no trade at all. He calls it bilateral trade. And so Donald Trump is fulfilling with this here right here where he says, the Yahweh Elohim of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem. Now get this. And so, typical Cyrus, he used his finances, and he used all of his resources that he had with the chariots and horses, and he had men, and he had wagons, and he could carry all of these supplies back to Judah, out of Babylon, restore Judah and the Jewish people back in their homeland. And Cyrus gave the command to Judah, build that temple, because Yahweh's commanded me to commission you to do that. So, and here's your finances, here's your money, here's your material. You have no excuse. Get the building. Cyrus, a heathen, a king, gave the command to rebuild the temple. But in the Antichrist, the Jews, those Orthodox Jews in the land of Israel and Jerusalem, are trying every way they can take control of the Temple Mount because they want to build a third temple there with their own hands. They want to go back to sacrificing animals. They want to defy and mock Yahweh clear on down to the end. It's never going to happen. Cyrus, Donald Trump, is going to issue an order. Matter of fact, he said at the appointed time, he said he's going to call for the embassy to be sent back from Tel Aviv back to Jerusalem. And the Arabs have already responded and said the day that this happens, it means that we are out of Jerusalem, that we will be driven out of Jerusalem. So, this is what's happened, said, which was in, and this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. So Donald Trump gave the command, gave the command to build the temple, and his successor, Darius, finished it in the sixth year. 2 Chronicles 36:22-23, Ezra 6:15. And so doing, Yahweh again kept his promise unto Judah. But the 10 tribes of Israel he did not deliver, and thereby brought to pass his word, I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, Hosea 1:6. So in 2002, Yahweh sent his son Yahshua to deliver the house of Judah in the south, Kermit, Texas, and he did not deliver the house of Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Matter of fact, he spewed the angel out of the candlestick of this Adventist Church of Laodicea. And he got rid of all that and planed that mountain off. That was a sign and a symbol that the whole Adventist Church has no more authority or power to execute anything they call in the form of the gospel for the world. Now when she had weaned Lo Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said Yahweh, call his name Lo Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your Elohim. Verses 8 and 9. In spite, though, of the Yeshua's, Yahweh's repeated great mercy and wonderful deliverances in her behalf, Judah's continual sins finally led her utterly to forsake him by denying his only begotten son, and they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, Luke 23:18. Thus did Judah, backsliding, at last bring upon her the dreadful anathema, ye are not my people, and I will not be your Elohim. Hosea 1:9. So that anthem was re-emphasized. Anathema was real emphasized at Kermit, 2002-2003. And that was for the whole house of the spiritual Israel today, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So far in this allegory, we see the history of the house of Israel up until the crucifixion of Yahshua. Now, it is necessary to ascertain whether it contains the history of the New Testament period. Well, I believe it does, and so let's continue to read and find out. While in chapter 1 of his vision, Hosea describes the church's idolatrous state in the Jewish dispensation, in chapter 2 he correspondingly described the church's idolatrous state in the apostolic dispensation of the New Testament. Say ye unto your brethren, Ami, and unto your sisters, Ruhamah. Plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife. Neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and sit her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness and set her alive to dry land and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms, for their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers, give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Hosea 2:1-5. In the apostolic era of the church, started out in an even more advantageous spiritual condition than in the Jewish era. Besides, she could have profited by the example of the fallen Jews. But as the verses just quoted reveal, she utterly failed to do so. Instead, as with the passing of just Joshua, the Jews began to depart from their Yahweh. So with the passing of the apostles, and Christians drifted likewise, and the lowering of the Christian standard and exalting the pagan, the church played the harlot with the heathen, in this way conceiving and bringing forth her so-called converts. Well, the church repeated that in the last days. Shepherd Rod apostatized the Davidians under Roden. The branch Davidians apostatized under Brother W. Johnson. So she paid the harlot once again. She hath done shamefully, said to Yahweh, for she said, I will go after my lovers, getting my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Okay. For these sentiments, she reflected by her attitude that her every candidate for membership, even those not fully converted to Yahshua, should nevertheless be baptized into the regular fellowship. Meanwhile, her financial support would further the work of the Yahweh. Reason like this is of a piece with that of the little girl who joyously exclaimed unto her mother, look, I got a good bargain from the peddler. For this bag full of cherries I was supposed to have given a pound of wool, but instead of giving all wool, I hid your gold bracelet in it. To give church membership unto those who have not brought forth fruit meet for repentance is an even more costly stunt than the barter for cherries, as though they were worth their weight in gold. Besides, this foolish act of giving away shares in the church's estate, one cannot begin to count the cost of the demoralizing influence that such subversive stockholders exert upon the true people of Yahweh. By such folly, the early congregation unwittingly furthered the design of the wicked seed sower, and also brought upon herself the dark ages of the religion. Yet even in spite of this frightful consequence, She should have taught her unforgettably the lesson to consecrate her zeal to the building up of a spirit-born membership. Only, she still continues heedless in her zeal for the Lord's congregations. Her passion for the increase of the members without a commensurate burden for their sanctification, their being born again, is engendered not by the Spirit of Yahshua, but rather by the carnal heart which says, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool, my flax, mine oil, and my drink. Selfishness, ambition, greed, these are Satan's right-hand helpers. Had the early apostolic congregation continued in her first love for the salvation of the souls and the advancement of the kingdom of Yahshua rather than for the enlarging of her membership, the enemy's operatives, the terrorists, could never have infiltrated into her ranks. But her zeal for the purity waned, and she gave herself to the raising of the gold, a selfish gain. Yes, saith the prophet, they are greedy those which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain, from his quarter. Isaiah 56:11. How fearful the lesson. There never is the prosperity of the church to be sought in silver and gold. Never can she stand in the wisdom and power of men. Though money has its place in her economy, it is not her most urgent need. Upon the fidelity in the message with which she has been entrusted depends her only real success. This calls for men whom Elohim can trust and upon whom he may freely pour his spirit, men who will stand true unto the principle, though the whole world turns against them, men who will in the faith rise unto the height unto which Yahshua bids, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. Okay, now this is the kingdom of his son Yahshua and his righteousness. It says, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Matthew 6:25, 32-34. All who follow in the decadent trend of the apostolic congregation, the antitypical apostolic congregation called the Christian Church, departing from the way of Yeshua and going in a way which seemeth right unto a man, Proverbs 14:12, will experience the rod of Yahweh's chastening. Behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall, that she shall not find her path, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return unto my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal, Hosea 2:6-8. When the church drifts with the current of the world away from the Yahweh, he can no longer bless her lest he drive her the faster downstream toward destruction. For the only way that he can then save her, bring her back to him, is to withdraw his helping hand from her until she finds herself grounded on a reef of her own folly, with the fierce waves of the retribution beating over her side. Then only will she respond unto his voice. For the Yahweh method of the bringing his congregation to self-realization of her dangerous condition is portrayed in Yahshua's parable of the prodigal. Had the father denied the boy's request to go, the lad would forever have been embittered with the feeling of what he believed was his father's injustice, and no one could ever have convinced him that his father did not deprive him of the opportunity of winning great wealth and a name for himself. But his bitter experience along the husk path of the disillusionment taught him the great lesson in his life, as nothing else could ever have taught it unto him. For this parable perfectly illustrates how wisely Elohim deals with the church in her follies, and how her self-conceit and levity and wisdom prevent her profiting from the experience of others. Instead of her overtaking, Christianizing her lovers, they overtook, paganized her. she shall not find them, because she has failed to save them. And who is this? Her lover is her former brother in the Adventist church. Finally, after going through her prodigality, she will repentantly return unto her first husband, the Yeshua. To hasten her return, the Yeshua overtakes her in the wilderness, thus fulfilling his word. And that's exactly what happened. She was overtaken in the wilderness of Judea today, out in Kermit, Texas, 2002, 15 years ago about. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax, given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and then shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbath, and all her solemn feasts. Hosea 2:9-11. This speaks the same language in Isaiah chapter 1. Just as Elohim chastened her in the olden time by the permitting Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylon, for the abolishing of the ceremonial system by the destroying of the ancient Jerusalem and his temple, just so did he chasten her in the antitypical apostolic era by permitting Rome, or the typical apostolic era, but permitting Rome to gain a control over her and to supplant her true religious system by a counterfeit. Let's read that again. Just so did he chasten her in the apostolic era of the apostles by the permitting Rome, pagan imperial Rome, to gain control over her and to supplant her true religious system. That's the divinely ordained system of the true worship of the feast days intact, by a counterfeit, a pagan priesthood, and a pagan Sabbath. Then was his words fulfilled. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbath, and all her solemn feasts. Since these ordinances, her feast days, her Sabbath, etc., were part of a compacted prophecy of the gospel, a presentation in which was bound up the promises of redemption, Acts of the Apostles, page 14, and since Hosea's symbolization has brought us into the Christian era, the ceasing of the ordinances therefore typifies Rome supplanting the truth. Daniel also was shown that this was to be accomplished through Rome, the exceeding great horn which cast down to the ground the truth and the place of his Yeshua's sanctuary, Daniel 8:12-11. So the last place of Yeshua's sanctuary was at Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, for 33.5 years in our day. Note that the truth and the place, not the sanctuary itself, were cast down. No, because I continued on with the sanctuary truth that was passed on to me from Kermit. But I said the truth and the place, not the sanctuary itself, were cast down. And so Gilead Center came to a close. I continued on with the creation calendar and the truth of the sanctuary and teaching the ordained system of the true worship. At that same time, the place of this sanctuary itself was cast down. That is, both Yahshua's truth and his place in the earthly sanctuary, Gilead Center, were set aside so that the knowledge as unto his mediatorial work became obscured. For a detailed explanation of Daniel 8:9, see the Shepherd Rod, Volume 2, page 126-147, track number 3 is 27-32. And I will destroy, saith to Yahweh, her vines and her fig trees, whereof she has said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them, and I will visit upon her the days of the Balaam, wherein she burned incense unto them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, world at this play, and she went after her lover, the world, and forget me, saith Yahweh. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness away from the vineyard, among the Gentiles, and speak comfortably unto her. Hosea 2:12-14. This happened when Yahweh told Rhodes, get out of this hill country that flows with natural springs and hills and valleys and rocks and rills and mountains. Get out of this country. Get out into back out into the desert where you was raised up, where you was brought up. That's what Rhodes Johnson did. He went back to the desert. Spent his next 33.5 years there, where I spent with him. And said that this prediction was made over 1,000 years before she lost her vineyard, and before she fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of Yahweh, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Revelation 12:6. But while she was there in the figurative retreat from her own land, Yahweh spake comfortably unto her. In other words, she, like the wayward prodigal, had to have a bit of experience, longing again for home before the Yahweh could do anything for her. Thus, at the end of her exile, his overtures of love and mercy were to strike in her a truly responsive chord. As we have already seen, this symbolism shows the apostolic congregation endowed with the sanctuary truth, Hosea 2:11, and since the Seventh-day Adventist Church is known to be the only one with this doctrine, it is evident that this symbolical prophecy of the church history brings us this side of the 1844 A.D. to the founding of the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. Consequently, the allegory now reveals her present condition, and Yahweh counsels unto her. Moreover, the fact that the unfolding of the, these chapters is now for the first time brought to attention further proves that the lessons which they contain are especially for the church at this hour. The first of which to be considered is the lesson of the typical valley of the Achor. I will give her vengeance from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. Hosea 2:15. Okay, so that the valley of Achor for a door of hope is found in our day at Gilead Center. Whatsoever may be the meaning of the Valley of Achor, it is her door of hope. So, Gilead Center, the third feeding pasture for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, was the Valley of Achor that was a door of hope for the Adventist Church. Because at Gilead Center could be found the creation calendar, the restoration of the ordained system of the true worship, the sanctuary restored. That's where it could be found at one time. And so that was the Valley of Achor, the door of hope for the Adventist Church. The only way out of her predicament to know why it is her door of hope is naturally of most immediate interest. Only 3 times in the scriptures is the Valley of Achor mentioned. Once in a literal sitting in Joshua 7:24-26, and twice in a figurative sitting, Isaiah 65:10. Hosea 2:15. A study of the literal will give us the key that will unlock the meaning of the figurative. For the first city to fall into the hands of the Israelites upon their crossing the river Jordan was Jericho. For the command to Joshua was that the city, with every living thing in it, be destroyed, burned with fire, that all the silver and the gold and vessels of brass and iron be consecrated to Yahweh and brought into the treasury of the Yahweh, Joshua 6:19. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, and as a result they began to fall before their enemies. Whereupon Joshua said, Alas, O Yahweh Elohim, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would the Elohim we have been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan, O Yahweh? What shall I say? When Israel turneth their backs before their enemies. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and it shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Yahweh said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken the accursed thing, and have also stolen this symbol also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith Yahshua Elohim of Israel, There is a cursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies, until you take away the accursed thing from among you. The real Joshua in this case is Joshua the son of Jehozadak, Zechariah 3. It's not Joshua the son of Nun that you find in the book of Joshua. And the antitype is Joshua the son of Jehozadak that happens to fall, a lot fell on this camp, the house of David. And so that's who he's talking to in this here prophecy, to the house of David. He said, In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Yahweh taketh shall come according unto the families thereof, and the family which the Yahweh shall take shall come by the household, and the household which the Yahweh shall take shall come by man, that is in Joshua 7:1 and Joshua 7:14. And Achan was taken, and he answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought him unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Yahweh Elohim shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with the stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones, verses 18, 20, 21, 24, and 25. Okay, this brings the close of our study. This is our contact. This is the 11th hour call. Number 11, click on our audio archives. We're going to close now with a song. Zion's Hill by the Elijah Davis song that I've written.
Well, I'm going to be on Zion's Hill. There are no pretenders, only those who do God's will. Won't you go with me to Zion's Hill? You can walk along the flowers and trill at the feet John.